Good morning, everyone. Welcome here. It is truly good to see you all here this morning, and what a rich blessing already as we've worshiped through singing and through teaching this morning in Connect classes, and through worship in song and giving. What a powerful morning it's been already, and God has richly blessed us. Ladies who sang this morning, thank you so much. What a powerful song. Caleb, God was leading you and guiding you as you chose the songs as we look at Jesus and who he is. And so we sang a lot about who Jesus is, and my prayer is, my hope is, and I'm going to continue from last week, that we know Jesus as we sing about these worship songs, that we know him for real like that. Not just as a somebody that we have some head knowledge of, somebody that we, you know, think of from time to time, but somebody that we know intimately and have an incredible intimate relationship with Jesus. Last week I shared my flawed understanding of who I believed Jesus to be. I believed Jesus, God, to be a God who could be bargained with. The health of my mom in exchange for burning some music, ungodly music. That's not who the Bible teaches Jesus is. Her life for my promise of good behavior. God, I'll be good. Jesus, I will be good if you bring her back to health. I had a flawed understanding of who God is. A God who was out to get me at times, to keep me down. One foot on my throat, in a sense, so to speak, so as not to be able to, you know, get too far and, you know, not to enjoy too many blessings, just only a few, you know, and then the foot comes down harder. I also believed in Jesus as a God of convenience when I was in crisis. When things were going wrong in my life, when things were going badly in my life, yes, God, where are you? Why have you left me here? He was a God only in crisis. I knew this, I needed Jesus to forgive my sins, I knew that much. But that was it. That's all I want out of you, Jesus. That's all I want from you, Jesus. I praise God as I look back at my flawed understanding of who Jesus is, who God is, what the scriptures teach about that. I am so thankful to God that he changed my thinking miraculously. And I use that term very specifically. It's miraculous, and I say that it's miraculous because someone who would pursue a person who treated them with contempt, with anger, was disobedient all of the time, was living in disobedience, blatant disregard, who would pursue such a person? I'm not special. I don't have some unique superpower or special gifts or strengths or abilities that someone would set aside all of my sin, all of my disobedience, all my disregard, all my contempt for them to pursue after me for relationship because of my specialty. That's not who I am. I have nothing to offer. Who does that? Who pursues something, someone who is blatantly disrespectful, blatantly contemptible, to pursue them for a relationship? No one does that. For in fact, only God does that. Romans 5 verse 8 says this: but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still enemies, while we were sinners, while we were at odds against him, God pursued me. God, even in my wrong thinking, my wrong understanding, God pursued me. Isn't that incredible? That's why I say it's miraculous. While we were still enemies, I want to ask you a question. Would you die for your enemy? Would you give up your life for an enemy? Would you be willing to die for someone who fired you from a job? Would you be willing to die for somebody who bullied you? Would you be willing to die for someone who took the life of your child, your mom, your dad, a loved one? Would you be willing to die for someone like that? Would you be willing to die for someone who caused you great distress and suffering when all you sought to do was to love them? Jesus did. Do you know him like that? Do you know Jesus like that? Pat's first kidney transplant, her dad's stepped out without hesitation to donate his kidney to his daughter. And when asked, people would ask him was it a hard decision? George, was it a hard decision for you to give your kidney to your daughter? You know what he would say? There was no decision. It's just what you do. This is my daughter. I'm her dad. In need of a second kidney transplant, my niece's response to donating her kidney to my wife was, she's family. That's just what you do for family. That's what you do for someone you love and that someone you care about. But are you willing to do that for your enemy? Would you be willing to donate a kidney for an enemy? Somebody that has wronged you, somebody that has killed somebody close to you, somebody that has done something grotesquely sinful and just impossible towards you. Can you do that? Are you willing to do that? Jesus did. Do you know Jesus as the one who died for you as an enemy of his? The cross, where the King of Glory took the penalty we deserved. He was the only divine solution for our sin problem. Do you know him like that? If you haven't come as a sinner to the crucified Christ and trusted him as God's provision for your sin, then you haven't responded correctly to Jesus' crucial question. And that is, who do you say that I am? If you haven't responded to that, then you haven't answered correctly to that question. Believing that Jesus is the Christ of the cross means walking in the way of the cross daily. Complete trust, complete obedience, complete reliance on and in him. Do you know Jesus to be able to trust him completely with everything in your life? Your food for today. Your job for tomorrow. Are you willing to submit him and be obedient? Do you know Jesus like that, that you would willingly submit to him? There's only one correct answer, one right answer to the question, who do you say that Jesus is? And it's not based on our personal feelings. It's not based on what we feel or think, our opinions, but it's based on objective, revealed truth. I had such a flawed view of who Jesus was, who God it was. But I am so thankful that God pursued me for a relationship. And he transformed my understanding as I began to know him more intimately. My understanding was so flawed and so wrong. At one point in my life, when I was not living for the Lord, I was doing whatever I wanted, living in sin, and I was enjoying living in sin. I was doing absolutely appalling things to Christ. I was grieving him. Here's my flawed understanding. I would ask people about the end times. Do you know when Jesus is going to come? How is he going to come? Because you know what I wanted to know? What is the last possible time that I can make things right and get to heaven? Isn't that incredible? Who Who thinks like that? I was willing to risk an eternity in the lake of fire to try and just sneak in at the last minute. Just squeeze in before that door slammed shut. You know, Jesus like that? In Genesis 6, chapter 6 to 9, we read the account of Noah and the ark, and we see the same kind of people who were living in sin and loving it. They had no desire to leave it. Moses preached salvation to them, but no one listened. God gave them 120 years to hear the message, the good news that Jesus was coming, a deliverer was coming to deliver them from their sin. But did they listen? No. There is only one means of rescue, one way in. That's what Moses was teaching. And so on the ark, you just picture this big ark. And how many doors was there into this big ark? There was one door, one way in only. And we talk about having a flawed understanding of Scripture. You see, this account in Scripture of Noah and the ark isn't about some crazy guy who built this massive boat and everybody hated him, and so he just gets on and God just pours out his wrath, his anger on people. Wow. That's a God of wrath. Do we stop there? Do we say that's the end of the story? Well, that would be a wrong understanding, an incomplete understanding of what this whole picture, what this whole story, what this whole account is actually teaching, what God's designed for it to reveal to us. You see, there's a picture here that's gonna take us right into the New Testament. It's pointing to the New Testament, to that deliverer. How many ways is there to Jesus, to a relationship with Jesus Christ? One. Only one. How many doors was there on the ark? One. Only one. Why? Because there's only one way into safety. There's only one way to appease the wrath of God, and that's through Jesus Christ, through God himself. Who shut the door on the ark? God did. No, it didn't. God shut them in because he wanted to keep those who believed in him, secure and safe in the ark. To save them from wrath, that's why he came. He allowed 120 years for these people to hear and understand that Jesus loved them dearly and he was sending a deliverer that would come to pay for their sin permanently. Not just to cover it, to pay for it permanently. All of these people in that day, they were living in sin and they were enjoying it. And they clearly rejected God. They clearly rejected him when they chose not to get on the ark. A correct understanding of this passage is that a loving, gracious God pursued after them for 120 years, giving them time to repent of their sin and turn to the one true God through the message Moses preached. There was one door, one way in. Noah and his family trusted in God. They believed in God. They believed what he said to be true. They believed and agreed with God that sin was against God. That he was the creator, he was the ruler, he was the ruler, he was the one truth teacher. He was the one standard. He was the owner. He was the author. He was the creator. You see the parallel as we move to the New Testament and we see Jesus? As he is that one way to be saved. Get on the boat, you live. You don't, you die. Do you know Jesus as the Savior? A Savior from wrath? My answer to this question is changing. My flawed understanding of Jesus is changing as I get to know him more intimately, more personally. Getting to know Jesus has all been all about his love, his grace, his mercy extended to me in light of my sin and my pride getting in the way? There's this question that I answer, that I have to answer daily, and that is this question of, who do you say I am? I must choose him, humble myself to him, choose to rely on him alone for each day. Not a day goes by that we're not in need of God's grace and his peace and his mercy and his love. Every morning we need his Spirit to fill us again, to fill us afresh, to strengthen us for what's ahead in that day. Every day we need a fresh word that he speaks to our hearts to help keep our focus on what's important, what's most important, in fact. The Israelites, they wandered in the desert for 40 years. And God was with them and made sure that they had everything that they needed. When they were hungry, God sent manna. When they were thirsty, God gave them water. Every day, every single day, a miracle was awaiting them in the morning. Every single day. Turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 16. And we'll start reading at verse 14. And the question is, do you know Jesus as the provider for each day in your life? Do you know Jesus this way? Exodus chapter 16, starting at verse 14. When the layer of dew evaporated, behold, on the surface of the wilderness, there was a fine flake-like thing, fine as the frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread of the Lord. It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. That is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent." The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some gathered little. And when they measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. Then Moses said to them, "No one is to keep any of it until morning." Each day, the people of Israel were to gather enough food for that one day. Not for tomorrow. Not for the following day, not for the following days. There is one concession that's made, and that's on day number six. So on the day of the rest, you're to gather on day number six. You're to gather enough for the Sabbath day, but that is it. Other than that, only gather for the one day. Each and every day, they were reminded how much they needed and relied on God. Each and every day. They needed him for strength. They needed him for nourishment for the day. He provided for them. What do we need? Do we need Jesus? Do we see Jesus as the nourishment, our spiritual nourishment for each and every day? Do you know Jesus like that? That we are, without him, we are in trouble in our day. That doesn't mean our days are going to go perfect. That's not what I'm saying when we start our day with Jesus. But do we acknowledge that we need him for strength and wisdom for each day? Do we know him as provider? God's provision. He provided for them each and every day. And they were satisfied. They didn't go away hungry. They were completely satisfied. It's more than a story about the Israelites finding some cool food on the ground every day. Well, that's pretty cool. It's amazing. In fact, it's a miracle. But it's more than just an account of people getting fed in the desert. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 6, 32 to 35. Let's read this. We've got to read this together. John chapter 6. I'm reading it out of the NASB, if you're wondering. John chapter 6, 32 to 35. Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. Then they sent to him, Lord, always give us this bread. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. This is what it's talking about. When they were talking about this in the Old Testament, when we read this account of the Israelites being fed in the Old Testament, it points directly to this where Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. He's talking about we're talking about two different things. He's relating the physical to the spiritual. And if we don't have a correct understanding, we don't see the parallels, and we just figure it's some random story in the Bible that, yeah, Jesus fed them and he took care of them. But you know what Jesus is saying? I'm feeding you. That's what he's saying to in the New Testament. I'm feeding you spiritually. You will never have want. Come to me. Do we know Jesus as that? As that person that provides our spiritual nourishment, that we're never going away wanting, we're never going away empty, we're never going away half full, but we have everything and we're complete in him. God's resources never run dry. Do you know Jesus as a sole provider in every area, in every aspect of our lives? Do we know Jesus as our sole provider? That's what he does for us every single day. Morning. When we get too busy trying to get it all done and we don't seek our daily food, getting into the Word of God, spending time with him, even then he waits patiently and extends his grace. But we miss out on blessing after blessing as we can walk in peace through those days that we think, man, I'm too busy to get it. We need the nourishment. Jesus covers our past. He secures our future and gives us all we need for today. Do you know Jesus like that? He promises that as we come to him and allow his truths to nourish and saturate our lives, that we will be completely satisfied. We won't leave hungry, wanting. We will have all that we need to live abundantly and freely in this life. A growing relationship with Jesus involves deep love and dependence on him and in him. A deep love and unity that his interests become my interests. The Christian life growing into deeper and deeper levels of understanding about the infinite, unfathomable, sovereign person of Jesus Christ. Colossians 1, 9, and 10 says this. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will, to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of fruit. You see that as we spend time with him, as we get to know him, we will continue to grow. Jesus promises to reveal more of himself as we obey him. Now, I mentioned I had a flawed and incorrect understanding of who Jesus is. He's transformed my thinking and my understanding only through the Word of God, only through prayer and teaching, and through the power of the Holy Spirit. I know him as my Savior. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't end there, that I know him as my Savior. At salvation, I'm in. I squeaked in that door. It goes beyond that. I now know him to be the God who extends to me his grace day by day. I know him as a God of patience. Because he was so patient as he revealed to me personally who he is. And what my flawed understanding, my incorrect understanding was of Jesus. But he patiently taught me. I know Jesus to be peace in chaos. Do you know Jesus? That when you're living in a life full of chaos and you don't even know where to turn next. And you're stressed and there's anxiety. But do you know Jesus in all of that to be peace? Let me share this one last story. God is continually transforming my life, and I'm not sharing my life story to say that, oh, wow, he's whatever. It's not, none of it is about me. But what I want you to see and understand is that, first and foremost, God gets all the glory for everything. But I want you to see and understand how God loves people and pursues them for the relationship, how he transforms lives, how he changes people, and how there's hope. If you feel hopeless that of your understanding of who God is. It was just this a month ago. It was surgery, the kidney transplant. My day began early. I went in to pray with my niece before she went into surgery. And so my day began early, and my niece went into surgery, and so I went and I chatted with Pat, had some coffee and different things in my day. And then about 12:30, I was in Pat's room, and they called down, surgery called down and said, it's time. Get her ready. Get Pat ready. It's time. Pam is pretty well done. And now it's time for Pat to come. So at 2:30, Pat went into the OR. I was tired and I wanted a quiet room. And so I went to see Pam, and it was quiet. And I sat down on a comfy chair and put my legs up. And family came in and out, and I was dozing off and on. And I want to tell you the incredible peace that I experienced that day. I had no idea how that day would ever end. But I had such incredible peace that I laid there. I don't even know how long it was that I laid there. And I was dozing off and on, and people were chatting, and it was a great time. And I just rested in God. You see, my desire is that you know God in your life through each crisis that we go through, each hard thing, each challenge that we go through. I want you to know Jesus that way. That's my heart's desire. Because 22 years previous to that, I was a nervous wreck. I didn't sleep much leading up to the transplant. I wrestled with God during the night because her kidney wasn't working. I had such incredible peace this time. It was amazing. God has transformed me, and I can see the transformation from, because there's two distinct marks in time of how I responded to different situations. And praise God, he was patient with me and gave me the time and allowed me the time to grow in him. I didn't have some feeling, crazy feeling that, oh, she's going to be okay, and trying to convince myself that she will be okay, and so that's why I was able to relax. I had incredible peace in my life. I didn't know how things would turn out, but I knew that God would be my strength for each hour, each day, each week, each month, no matter the outcome. I fully trusted him. Do you know Jesus as the God of all comfort, and do you know Jesus as the God of peace in your life? Isaiah 9 verse 6 says this about Jesus as he was, as they're prophesying about his birth. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful. Do you know Jesus to be Wonderful? Do you know Jesus to be Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace? Because that's who he is, and he wants us to know it. Do you know Jesus as Wonderful? I know Jesus as the one true God. I know Jesus as the Savior of my life. I know Jesus as my peace and my comfort. I know him because of what he did. He pursued me because he desired for me to experience peace while living in a chaotic, fallen world with sin and the effects of sin. I know him as my truth teacher. Jesus asks you this question. Who do you say that I am? I want you today to hear this question as if it was only you and Jesus. There's no one else in this room. I want you to picture this setting as if Jesus were right here in front of you, asking you himself, who do you say I am? If you're not a follower of Jesus at this point, or maybe you are a follower of Jesus, but maybe you're experiencing some spiritual recession or a spiritual drought, so to speak. Who do you say that I am? One time, atheist Lee Strobel, whose profession was an investigative reporter, set out to disprove Christ because his wife had become a Christian and he was totally opposed to Christ, and then he was opposed to his wife having to do anything to do with this. And so he set out and asked this question, who is Jesus? He wanted to resettle this ridiculous notion that Christ even existed. That's what he set out to do. He dug deep and he dug hard and asked questions of Bible scholars. He did incredible research. And the questions he came up with were absolutely amazing. And I believe the Holy Spirit was putting these questions to his mind so that he would be able to ask the right questions. And in his book, Case for Christ, he gives a detailed account of his investigation and his findings. And after a thorough investigation, he came to realize that Christ was a historical man. There is historical evidence to prove that he walked on this earth and died, lived and died, and giving credibility and authenticity to the Gospels, the entire Bible, in fact. It is this Jesus, this very Son of God who walked on earth, died for my sin and rose again in victory over sin, Satan, and death. So who do you say Jesus is? Jesus isn't someone, he isn't whoever you picture him to be, whoever you think he should be, whoever the world thinks he should be. In fact, your concept of Jesus, your idea of who Jesus is, doesn't change who he is. My heart's desire is that if you have a misunderstanding of who Jesus is, if you don't believe there is a Jesus, then I simply ask that you would dig into and search with all of your heart. Don't reject Jesus' free gift of salvation without knowing or having a complete and correct understanding of who he is. If you are a believer and you've been a Christian for many years, who do you say that Jesus is? And does your life, does the fruit of your life, does it give proof? In silence, I'm going to ask the audiovisual guys to start the music, and if you have the words, you can put them up there as well. I want you to take some time right now to reflect on that question, who is Jesus? You can read the words on the wall, or you can close your eyes, and you can pray. But I want you to ask yourself this question before you leave here today. Who do I say Jesus is? And if you're struggling, then talk to us, pastors, one of us pastors. Just take some time and I'll close in prayer. Can you bring it up the volume a bit? I want to know you, Jesus. Who you are, who you say you are in the Bible. I want to have a right understanding. I want to have a correct understanding. I want to be in intimate relationship with you. I want to grow in intimate knowledge of you. Father, give me the desire in my heart. Give me the desire to move forward, to read, to ask people, to ask questions. If I have a incorrect understanding of who you are. Jesus, I want to know you as my Savior. I want to know you as my truth teacher. I want to know you as my peace. I want to know you as my comfort. I want to know you as the God of love and mercy. I want to know you as the God who every morning feeds me. Jesus, reveal yourself to me as I read your word, as I speak to you in prayer. Thank you that you love me, and thank you that you pursue me. May my heart be open and I respond to your call in my life. Pray these things in Jesus' holy name.